Support by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. There are many atheists who oppose the worship of the deity of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the temple. Translation. Auspicious indeed are the places where there is a temple of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, in which he is duly worshipped, and also the places where there flow the celebrated sacred rivers mentioned in the Puranas, the supplementary Vedic literatures. Anything spiritual done there is certainly very effective. In response, please. Auspicious indeed are the places where there is a temple of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, in which he is duly worshipped, and also the places where there flow the celebrated sacred rivers mentioned in the Puranas, or the supplementary Vedic literatures. Anything spiritual done there is certainly very effective. Purport. There are many atheists who oppose the worship of the deity of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the temple. In this verse, however, it is authoritatively stated that any place where the deity is worshipped is transcendental. It does not belong to the material world. It is also said that the forest is in the mode of goodness, and therefore those who want to cultivate spiritual life are advised to go to the forest. Vanam gato yat dharam ashrayeta. One should not go to the forest simply to live like a monkey. Monkeys and other ferocious animals also live in the forest, but a person who goes to the forest for spiritual culture must accept the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead as shelter. Vanam gato yat dharam ashrayeta. One should not be satisfied simply to go to the forest. One must take shelter of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In this age, therefore, since it is impossible to go to the forest for spiritual culture, one is recommended to live in the temple community as a devotee. Regularly worship the deity, follow the regulative principles, and thus make the place like Vaikuntha. The forest may be in goodness, the cities and villages in passion, and the brothels, hotels and restaurants in ignorance. When one lives in the temple community, he lives in Vaikuntha. Therefore, it is said here, Shreyasam Padam, it is the best, most auspicious place. In many places throughout the world, we are constructing communities to give shelter to devotees and worship the deity in the temple. The deity cannot be worshipped except by devotees. Temple worshippers who fail to give importance to the devotees are third class. They are Kanishta Adhikaris in the lower stage of spiritual life, as it is said in Srimad Bhagavatam 11.2.47. Acharyam eva haraye pujam ya sharaye hate natat bhaktishu chanyeshu sa bhakta prakrita smitaha. A person who is very faithfully engaged in the worship of the deity in the temple but does not know how to behave towards devotees or people in general is called a Prakrita Bhakta or Kanishta Adhikari. Therefore, in the temple there must be the deity of the Lord, and the Lord should be worshipped by the devotees. This combination of the devotees and the deity create a first-class transcendental place. Aside from this, if a Grihastha devotee worships the Shalagram Shila or the form of the deity at home, his home also becomes a very great place. It was therefore customary for members of the three higher classes, namely the Brahmins, Kshatriyas and Vaishyas, to worship the Shalagram Shila or a small deity of Radha Krishna or Sita Ram in each and every home. This made everything auspicious, but now they have given up the deity worship. Men have become modernized and are completely indulging in all sorts of sinful activities, and therefore they are extremely unhappy. According to Vedic civilization, therefore, the holy places of pilgrimage are considered most sacred. And still, there are hundreds and thousands of holy places like Jagannath Puri, Vrindavan, Hardwar, Rameshwaram, Prayag and Mathura. India is the best place for worshipping or cultivating spiritual life. The Krishna Conscious Movement invites everyone from all over the world, without discrimination as to caste or creed, to come to its centres and cultivate spiritual life perfectly. Om Aganti Mirandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Jena Tasmai Shri Guruve Nama Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svabhadantikam Bandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sargjatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavanishvari Vrishavanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Pancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gradha Sri Vasri Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So this chapter is talking about family life, about grihastha life, how to make sense gratification and grihamedi life into an ashram. Ashram means a place of spiritual culture. So like anything else, if you want to culture anything worthwhile in life, it takes effort. We have to put, it's like a sacrifice. We sacrifice. What does sacrifice mean? It means to make sacred, to make the home sacred. We sacrifice our tendency for sense gratification. That's one of the symptoms of a grihastha. It's very easy to have sense gratification in grihastha life. Who's to stop? But that tendency is curtailed for a higher purpose. And also one is the tendency in grihastha life is that we have Lakshmi. We're in a position to generate wealth. So that's also sacrificed. Most of it anyway. We do keep some ourselves, but generally it's meant to sacrifice in order to support the other ashrams. And and sense control is the last one. What's that? No, it's sense control, I've just mentioned. Sense control, sacrifice, and charity. Sacrifice, yeah, charity. So charity means that we don't... Prabhupada said, I think we all know this example, that one young disciple of his got married and he asked Prabhupada what to do. What's my chief occupation in grihastha life? And Prabhupada said, once you go to the door, cook prasadam, go to the door and shout three times, is any hungry men about? And then Prabhupada carried on walking and it bewildered the individual. So I probably didn't understand my question, so he asked him again. And Prabhupada gave the same answer. And then he started to realize that after some time that actually it's a place of, it's an ashram. Another time Prabhupada was in Titnurst. And I forget the two devotees who were married, but Prabhupada immediately took the boy and the girl on a walk. I thought, oh, we're very fortunate. We're going to, not many people go on a walk with Prabhupada. And so they walked down to the stable. And in the stable, they, you know, times have degenerated a little bit. They used to have horses, but there was a donkey in there instead. And so he looks at this donkey, Prabhupada, and he said, the donkey is like the ass. The ass, it goes to its mate for sex life, and then the mate turns around and kicks him in the face. And then he went back to the house. And that was Prabhupada's explanation of Grihastha life to the two couple. But there are many, there are five different things it mentions in this purport. It says that worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that's the primal function of a Grihastha. That's the first thing. If we can't live together and worship the Supreme Person, then Prabhupada says in one purport, might as well pack it in. He says there's no point in staying in that situation. One's just going to get more and more degraded. Receiving Vaishnavas and saintly persons. So, this is also very, very important. Distributing prasad to the general public and to all living entities. Not very strong. Hare Krishna. Distributing prasad and to the general public and to all living entities. Offering prasad to his forefathers. Also offering prasad to himself. So this is roughly what the chapter is speaking about. And then he goes into detail about the different sacrifices that one performs. And now it's coming to the practical situation of where do we get our juice from in devotional service. And it's talking about temple life. Auspicious places. Every place can be made auspicious if we practice spiritual life. But in particular, the temple is a place where we all come together. And therefore, the power of the association of devotees is very helpful for devotional life. Just like Prabhupada explains in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, that what does a scientist do if he's getting a little bit jaded in his experiments and study? They have a convention, don't they? Prabhupada used to send Swarup Damodar to these conventions, and they all exchange thoughts, and then they become re-inspired to go back to their experiments. And so in the same way, Prabhupada said that devotees all should come together and associate in the temple. And especially when we're discussing Srimad Bhagavatam, he says Lord Chaitanya becomes very, very pleased. And so the temple is a place where we can get extra help in our devotional service. So why are they auspicious? Why are temples auspicious? We've just said because devotees are there. It's not because the deity is there, but unless the devotees are there, it's very difficult to take advantage of the deity. It's, it's by the inspiration of the devotees we're inspired to worship the deity. It's like Maharaj Yudhisthira, what does he say to Vidura? Bhavat vidā bhagavatas tirthak bhūtak svayamvibho tirthak kurvanti tirthani svantak stena gadāvritaḥ. My dear Lord, he says to Vidura, devotees like your good self are holy places of pilgrimage personified. Why? Because you carry the Supreme Personality of Godhead within your heart. You turn all places into places of pilgrimage. So that's what makes the temple. The spirit of the devotees. I mean, at the bottom of our road, when I was in Manchester, there was another temple. It was a Hindu temple. Bigger than ours, much bigger. And more deities on the altar. And it was immaculate. And they used to hire one pujari from India, sometimes two. But it was dead. We went in there one month. We thought, we'll go in there, Janmashtami, and set some good relationship up. And it was okay, but compared to an ISKCON temple, there's no comparison. So it's not necessarily the deities. the deities are there, and the deities actually, it is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But he's enlivened by the actions of the devotees. It's a reciprocal thing. So we go into the temple. The temple life is for the association of devotees. This is the point. Prabhupada, he was like Vidura. He was a holy place, but it was a walking temple. Devotees are walking temples according to their particular spiritual strength. But Prabhupada, he was in New York, and he didn't seem to be having much success. And one person said to him, "You don't seem to be having much success, Prabhupada," one associate, Swamiji at that time. He said, "Oh, I'm very successful. I'm in this mad city of New York, and I'm still Krishna conscious." And so Prabhupada was like that. He was a walking, he was a temple which devotees took shelter of. How did they take shelter? He convinced so many devotees, he inspired so many devotees to perform service. One of them, Rameshwar, I think it must have been, he told him to start a printing press. He said, "I've never even seen a printing press." He said, "Don't worry, Krishna will help you." He started a printing press, I think it was at Brahmananda actually in the beginning. And they were printing so many books. By George Addison, by Prabhupada's association, by the walking Bhagavat, walking temple. He asked if he should join the temple, and he said, "No, you can do more preaching outside." Made many devotees by his songs that he sung. I think I mentioned this on Saturday. So everybody Prabhupada came in contact with, they were inspired. Because Prabhupada was a pure devotee. He was carrying the Supreme Personality of Godhead within his heart. First stage of spiritual understanding is Kanishtha Adhikari, where we carry Krishna. We only see Krishna in the deity, not in other devotees. Prabhupada is mentioning this in his purport. But the real devotee, or the Madhyama Adhikari, starts to see that the Supreme Lord is within the hearts of other devotees also. So the process is, Prabhupada mentions, is for the Grihastha, anybody for that matter who comes to the temple, but particularly we're talking about Grihastha, is to become detached from that close bond of family life. Prahlad Maharaj likes it when Hiranya Kashipu was asking him questions about what he'd learnt at school, and he said, one answer he gave is that one should renounce this dark well of material existence, and one should take to the forest, more specifically Vrindavan. Or Prabhupada enlightens us even more by saying the temple. So that association with the temple helps us. But what's the association with the temple that we're getting? It's we're hearing from the devotees in the temple, just like Yudhisthira is going to hear from Vidura. Likewise, we hear. What's the purpose of coming to the temple? To see the deity, to get association. What's that association? It's to hear Srimad Bhagavatam in the association of devotees. And then what happens is the heart becomes purified. Satam prasangam mamavirya samvido bhajanti ritkana rasayanakata tadyoshinap apavargavartmati Shradharati or Bhakti Anukramashati. That in the association of pure devotees, when we hear in that association, then it's very pleasing to the ear, and it's satisfying to the heart. But the result is that one becomes gradually cleansed of material contamination. Prabhupada describes this point in, it's described by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur actually, in the Madhuri Kadambini, that generally in the beginning of devotional service we're practicing under the guidance of the spiritual master. We've got faith to come to the temple, associate, and also we start our bhajan, hearing in the association. And this stage is called Anishta Bhakti. Nishta means fixed, but Anishta Bhakti becomes Nishta Bhakti by this hearing. And he says specifically this process is two verses in the Bhagavatam. It says, Shrinvatam Svakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana Ridant Dostak Hyabhadrani Vidyanoti Saritsatam. This is the link. This particular verse, he says, is talking about Anishta Bhakti by hearing. But by hearing, Vidyanoti Saritsatam, the heart becomes cleansed. And then we become fixed on the platform of Nishta Bhakti. By what? Nasta Priyeshu, by regular hearing. Nasta Priyeshu Bhadra. Nityam Bhagavata Seva. Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naisaki. Even the Grihastha life is very. It's a license for sense gratification, Prabhupada explains. And so even this strong knot of attachment to sex life is actually nullified by this process of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. And I think I mentioned the other day that many stalwarts on the path of devotional service have become very advanced. We hear about them in the Shastras, how they, just one little slip and they fall down. One devotee was Vishishta, I think it was. He was meditating, he went beneath the water so he wouldn't be disturbed. Vishwamitra, was it? Maybe Vishwamitra. Vishishta. Sabarimuni, that's right. Sabarimuni. And he was holding his breath and he opened his eyes. And what did he see? Even in the water, there were two fish copulating. And immediately he was disturbed and he had to come up. Finished. But this process of bhakti yoga is, Prabhupada says, we don't have to completely refrain from sex life, but so marriage is allowed. But we have to be very, very careful that we're hearing regularly and purifying ourselves. And then actually this attraction is like something in a dream. It's not even there. If we're hearing properly, it's not even a problem. And this is what he says in that verse, that even this strong attraction which has befell great acharyas in the past, great devotees, the devotee becomes peaceful. So everything's there in this hearing process. It's described how we become peaceful. There's a nice verse in the 11th canto, the Vakti Pareshana Bhava Viraktiya. Prabhadyamanasya. It's just like we have a meal. When we have a meal, nobody has to tell us that we're becoming, satisfied. Bhakti Pareshna. So when we perform Bhakti Yoga by this hearing process, just like it says Satam Prasangam Bhamaviri, by hearing in the association of devotees, the heart becomes satisfied, the ear becomes pleased. So this is explaining that point, that if we're hearing regularly, then our devotional service become nourished, we become satisfied, and we become detached. Viraktir, this is what we're talking about, viraktir, becoming detached from material life, material sense gratification. So what happens when the devotee becomes purified? It says that Bhakti Devi enters the heart. As the heart becomes purified, Krishna says he enters the heart. Bhakti Devi enters the heart. What's that verse? Tesham evun anukamparatam hama gyantam tamha nasyam atma bhavasto. What's the rest of it? Gyanadipena bhavistaha. The light of knowledge is illuminating the heart. So this bhakti actually is what's the sign of that bhakti is becoming manifest in the heart is that we start to not become, like it mentioned in this verse, it's on temple worship is a activity of Kanishta Adhikari, that we don't see beyond our own particular service. We see the deity in ourselves. But by practicing and hearing properly, this is how we come to. Prabhupada said we should very quickly come from that platform of just seeing the deity as being the all-in-all. The deity is the all-in-all in one respect, but we also start to be able to reciprocate with the devotees. And what's the other platform of Madhyamadikari? Preaching. This devotion in the heart is inspiring the devotee to preach. He says, Bhakti, from Bhakti we get Bhakti. This is the whole point of this first shloka of Madhuri Kadambani, that Bhakti is coming from Bhakti. We can only give it if we've got it. And so we get it from hearing in the association of devotees. This is what it says in the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. A fortunate person who receives this taste for hearing. He says, then that's the difference between performing other processes, by hearing from a devotee. And so we receive it and we have to give it. This is the process. We receive and we give. Then the process is complete. And this is true also for Grihastha life. It's not that it's just for the brahmacharis. But Prabhupada also wanted his Grihasthas to engage in the preaching process. When Tamalkrishna Maharaj was first got married, first thing Prabhupada did, he took him travelling with him. And he was just travelling like an ordinary brahmachari. And him and his wife, they were preaching all the time. And then from that moment, Prabhupada, after about 4 years of preaching in India, Tamalkrishna went back to... Goswami went back to America, and he wanted all the Grihasthas to travel in vans preaching. Anyway, it's a good idea, but the temple president wasn't so fussed. And this set up a whole different... There was a lot of differences. But then the Radha Damodar travelling bus party was started, and there was a big hoo-ha about the temples and this bus party. So anyway, this was a difference. But generally, the thing is that Grihasthas can still preach. And this is also very helpful to bring that detachment in our soul life. I think if you ask any Grihasthas who are preaching, they'll definitely vouch for that. So then we move on to... Prabhupada wanted us to come to the platform of Madhyama, or a preacher. And then we're fixed. It's easy. If we're on the platform of Madhyama, what is another platform? What is another symptom of a Madhyamadikari? Is he able to discriminate? He gets good discrimination. So what happens in the temple if we have good discrimination? Then interactions between devotees are much better. If we're on the platform of just it's very difficult when we try to have a conversation and discuss, you know, about preaching. We get offended. On the Madhyam platform, we're able to see, wait a minute, this person has this point of view, and he has this point of view, and we're able to reciprocate. And Prabhupada was saying, as I was saying the other day, then when we can actually see other people's point of view. And the temple's a place where views can be aired, and there's not just one particular view. This also helps the preaching. We're able to have a broader vision for the movement. So Madhyamadikari, Prabhupada said we should very quickly come to this platform. The temples are to inspire us to preach. I was thinking that I once heard Shivram Maharaj say, I think I mentioned this before, that what's the point in having the deity if we don't worship it? Everybody can understand that. It's a complete waste of time, isn't it? And then he came with another important thing. He said, what's the point in having the deity if we don't preach? You know, because the deity is there to inspire us. Why is the Pujari addressing the deity? He's addressing the deity to inspire the devotees so that they become, inspired in the devotional service. When we become inspired in our devotional service, the heart becomes satisfied. And, you know, as we become purified, then we want to give that satisfaction to others. A satisfied devotee wants to give satisfaction to others. So, and then we bring more people to the temple. The process in India, generally, as far as I know, is that in the past the devotees go to the temple. That's their first understanding of devotional service, isn't it? I read that, I forget where I read it, but generally, it wasn't mentioned in India, but that is the procedure. Automatically, you go to the temple, and you're put before the deity, and you start to develop a relationship with the deity. And your devotional service starts to become inspired, and then that carries on. Occasionally, the sannyasi or the vanaprastha will travel and preach, and this also helps to inspire our devotional service. And this type of preaching can go on in some places. But in England, it's a different situation. There's about 63 million people don't come to the temple. And, you know, we're inspiring another 1 million to come to the temple. But those 1 million then have to be inspired to preach beyond those 1 million. And then we can, you know, get people to come to the temple and see the deity, which is the beginning of their spiritual life also. So this is the Sankirtan movement of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And a temple becomes alive when we understand Lord Chaitanya's mood, which is the same as Srila Prabhupada's mood. Which I gave the example of meat, I think, did I last time? Yeah? Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, he was preaching in India. And the temple was there, and he said to Prabhupada and some other devotees, we can feed them meat if we can get people to come to the temple. And Prabhupada was a little bit taken aback by that. So that's the mood of our disciplic succession. The thing is to get people here to worship, to preach. And then Prabhupada said that nearly the same thing to Hare Krishna Maharaj when he was preaching in Eastern Europe, in Yugoslavia. He was asking him how he was going. He said, the preaching, they're very favourable, Prabhupada, but there's nothing to eat. He said, they're not vegetarians. He said, it's very difficult. He says, well, eat meat if you have to. And Arikesh was very, you know, he was shocked. And so he asked, Prabhupada probably didn't hear me properly, so I asked him again, and he said, eat meat. He said, what about my consciousness? He said, to hell with your consciousness. So this is the mood of our disciplic succession, is to preach and inspire others to preach. And that comes from the top, doesn't it? What the mood filters down, the preaching mood. So we are devotees, I said the other day, we are leaders. So you know, we have to develop it ourselves, develop the preaching mood. If we have developed the preaching mood, we pass it on to others. Anyway, enough on... Actually, Bhaktisiddhanta said another thing about the temple, didn't he? He said that we should take all the marble... Bag Bazaar, wasn't it? In Calcutta. So we take all the marble off the walls. Everybody's fighting over which room they should, you know, and maybe temples fight over different things nowadays. You know what I mean? And so he says, if that starts happening, he says, just, you know, sell all the marble off the walls and just print books, you know, distribute books. So there's two lines of service, there's two lines of activity in devotional service. This is talking about Pancha Ratriki Vidhi. This is the line of purity, temple service, deity service, worshipping the temples keeps us pure. We can't go before the deity in a dirty situation. Everything has to be kept. We're very mindful of serving the Lord. And the other thing is Bhagavat Vidhi. Bhagavat Vidhi means understanding the philosophy and giving it to others, generally. So the two things are in parallel. Without one, you can't have one without the other. So we should be very mindful that what our duty is coming to the temple is being reflected in our bhajan, in giving Krishna consciousness, practicing Krishna consciousness and giving it to others. Okay, so it's stop there. Does anybody have any questions or comments?